Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod, Nick and I make our all-star votes for this year's game in LA. Are the Raptors a legit contender out east? With Blake Griffin set to return, can the Clippers make a run at the playoffs? And with Kawhi nearing full fitness, are the Spurs a contender out west as much as the Houston Rockets? Is Anthony Davis on his way out from the Pelicans? Does James Harden need to take a rest? And is Isaiah Thomas the key to the Cavs' championship fate? So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes or follow us on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Nick Busink, and my New Year's resolution has fully started, mate.
Well, what is it, Nick? I know it, but like people who are listening to exactly, our podcast don't spend every
well,
day.
Well, I expected you to ask me the question.
I'm not engaging you in this because, you know, new year, new me. I don't buy that bullshit. I reckon you can do this without a New Year's resolution. Tell people
definitely,
what it is.
I definitely can.
And you should.
And I've done it before. I am attempting to lose 40 kilos in the year.
It's a lot of kilos.
Year. It's a lot of
kilos. How many pounds is that, Nicholas? I don't know.
That's a good question. Siri, how many, how many 40 kilos in a pounds?
300.
I don't think that was a question.
No, yeah.
That was not legible.
No, not at all. But good luck to you, Nick, because we're all about staying healthy and being the best version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that. We're looking forward to doing the best version of our podcast live on Periscope right now.
Speaking of which, with me today, episode 2.11, we have the J-Man in the room next to me.
In the room!
I'm touching his leg right now.
And it's getting kind of arousing, and don't go any higher than that, please, Nicholas, or I will call the cops.
The J-Man, Jack Manuel, how are we, mate?
I'm very well, Nick. I'm well rested. Good to go. Got my headband ready. I'm looking good. I'm feeling good. JBT's coming at you live on Periscope, and I'm here as well. I'm here. I'm right next to you. I'm touching you now. Since I'm on the shoulder, not on the leg.
This is strange. This is weird. You know,
normally
what?
I'm thousands of kilometers away.
I know, and with a very bad delay on Discord.
I know.
We need to try and fix that.
Yeah, no, anyway, shout out, guys, if you want to hear us on, like, you know, something else, maybe like Google Hangouts or some other.
If you've got any suggestions, I'm all ears.
Yep, we're all ears. But speaking of all ears, Nicholas, people that have ears, our segues are continuing to go strong.
No, they're not. I'm not doing segues, mate. I'm not good at them.
All right. Instead of our news section today, the big news this week is that All-Star voting has started, Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nick, what I want you to do right now is to open up a new tab. And I'm going to go through, go to your Twitter page, and you're going to do your votes while I talk to you about the potential candidates for All-Stars this year.
All
so,
right.
We'll go out east first. So, to the Eastern Conference, the point guards are looking someone like a Kyrie Irving as your starter. I mean, you got your 15 picks. Are you going to go Kyrie Irving? Are you going to go Kyle Lowry? Are you going to go Ben Simmons, maybe?
Dips, mate. Dips. Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, but he's shooting guard.
Yeah, so, but it's guard in general.
Okay, so, I mean, my two starters would be, I would have Kyrie and Oladipo.
Mm, that's fair, yep.
And then, you know, if you've got reserves, I'd have DeMar DeRozan, who's been having a great couple of weeks lately, and maybe Ben Simmons. Just because Aussie Ben.
Oh, Ben.
He struggled a little bit lately.
I don't think he can.
But, like, him and Mitchell, if Mitchell was in the Eastern Conference right now, he would be there, right?
I don't think he would.
Really? I'd say Donovan Mitchell, because the guard depth in the East right now isn't as high. Or, I mean, it's never as high as the West, where you've got, like, you know, Stephen Curry, James Harden, Paul, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. Actually, Bradley Beal would be one of my votes as well.
Well, yeah, Beal's... It's hard to... It's weird, because it's hard to like Beal as a Wizards fan. That might be the strangest thing I've ever said.
What?
Because he's so streaky.
Yeah, but I think one thing that's improved this year is his engagement on the defensive end. That injury to John Wall, as it sort of has done with my Nets, has improved other players. And Bradley Beal has been the, I guess, the biggest beneficiary of that. Yeah. And I mean, he wasn't an all-star last year. Carmelo Anthony got that injury replacement, despite the fact that we both advocated for Real Deal Bill. We're big fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got career highs across so many of his key statistical categories. He's shooting well. I've really liked his defense, as I mentioned. So he'd be a vote for me in the guard spot. So who you got, Nicky boy?
East, as in starters, because I haven't really given much of a thought to the whole 15.
Just,
I agree with you. If you're talking 15, maybe Ben Simmons can get in. I mean, he's.
Are you gonna put it on your Twitter page? Are you gonna make it official, Nick?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
You're not doing the hashtags.
I'm not doing it. Not
yet. All right. All right.
Not showing my love.
You're normally the guy that does the hot takes. Yeah. Listen, you're being oddly tentative. I don't like it. That's me. I'm the one that sits on the fence.
Simmons is currently on 17 points a game. Shooting super efficient, which is great. I mean, I love him. Rookie of the year by far and away.
Maybe not far away with Donovan Mitchell.
By far and away.
All the way to Werribee.
All the way over there.
Is that Werribee?
I don't know, mate.
Sitting on the fence.
I'm not good.
That's you right now. The fence outside your window. For those that can't see, that's Nick.
Kyrie and Oladipo
locks
for
yep.
me.
Yep.
DeMar
DeRozan's almost a lock for me.
As a reserve, yeah. As a reserve, yeah.
Yeah, not a starter.
No, not a starter.
And I'd say Beal's almost a lock for me, which I find it hard to...
And that's two brand new All-Stars.
DeMar DeRozan's not a new All-Star.
Sorry. One.
One.
Yeah. My mistake.
Beal.
No, wait, no. Not DeRozan, Beal.
Beal's a new one, yeah.
Yeah, Beal and Oladipo, two.
Oh, Dips.
Beal and Oladipo, and two new...
Oladipo,
yeah,
especially.
I know. The freaking Oladipo is blown up like crazy.
Yeah.
So we've got the locks there. East forward positions. What do you think, mate? I've got a few names in my mind.
Sure. What do you got for me, mate?
Kristaps.
Yeah. Ben.
Giannis.
Yep. LeBron.
Yes. LeBron.
I think those are your three. Those are your starters.
Those
right
are your
there.
Starters. Yeah.
But I could throw at you as well, Joel Embiid.
Andre Drummond.
Nice names. I like it.
Yep.
But I think I would have Kristaps as well, just because right
another
now,
new All Star.
Yeah, and he deserves it. And I mean, Joel. I mean, you could toss up Joel or but the fact is, they've been struggling a little bit lately. Joel has been in and out of the team, obviously, with his management, with his mm-hmm. injury and his minutes. Kristaps has had missed a couple of games here and there as well. But I think the Knicks, despite losing to the Bulls today, only a few hours ago, I think they're still in the playoff race, if I'm not mistaken. So that's why I would give the edge to him. Also, I think he's played more games. Joel Embiid, when he's on the court, probably there isn't many players in the NBA that have as more of an impact than he does on both ends of the floor. The Knicks right now are just out behind the Heat, but they're only one game behind. So I think that they're every chance to make the playoffs.
A 500 record doesn't get you a playoff spot.
In the East as well. I know that's saying something.
That's weird.
So, I mean, yeah, those are all very credible names. If we were going to... I mean, there's no one really from the Pacers apart from Oladipo. Wizards, you could chuck in John Wall into the guards. He's been playing well as he got back. Give him another month.
He spent too long out. John Wall sits this one.
And Raptors, Kevin Love as well has been having a great season, mm-hmm. probably his best season with the Cavs. So,
Second man.
Yeah, he would be unlucky to miss out. The Hornets, probably Kemba's had an underrated good year just because the Hornets have been so trash. Dwight's been good, but I don't think he's...
Dwight has been good. He's actually looking more nimble than usual. I don't know if he's been working out more.
Yep.
I don't know if you can work out more with the sheer size that he is.
Maybe he's just cut out those Skittles. So should we go to the West, Nick?
West, now this is the interesting one.
Because it's just ridiculously hard
always.
It's just
ridiculously stacked, yeah, right, every year.
let's just make it easy and go through... Okay, we start with the guards. So the guards are going to be Steph and James.
James.
So your reserves are going to be Russ. Russ has been killing it lately, bro.
They're on a 10-game winning streak.
They're 11 and... I think they're like 12
sorry,
and 3.
Sorry, they're not a 10-game winning
streak.
They're
12 and 3 in December, I think.
Yeah, something ridiculous. Yeah. Their December
and
has been
the main
amazing.
Factor.
Are we going to forget... I'm not
Damian
going
Lillard?
To forget the first... No, the first half of the season that he had. It wasn't awful by no stretch. I mean, Paul George and Melo had...
But it was All-Star worthy still.
Was it?
If you're saying... I think the other guard that's mainly competing with him is... Damian Lillard. I think Damian Lillard has had his moments as well. Whereas Russ, yes, it all comes down to Russ. I mean, the brunt of the criticism, the brunt of the praise comes to him in both senses of the word. So, I mean, I'm going with Russ over Dame by a hair, but I'd probably have both, to be fair. But then, you know, you've got shooting guards like Clay. Clay's been a bit waning for me. I think with Steph, the absence of Steph has forced him to sort of have an increased role, and I think that's not to his liking. Mm. It works well for KD, because KD's done it before, because KD's, you know, one of the best players in the world. For Clay to be the best version of Clay, he needs to have Steph out there. So I think for him, that doesn't work. You know, we go to the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge up forward in the forward position. I think he's a lock. He has to be for them to be third, and without Kawhi for so much
of the year. Exactly, yeah. He's looking... A lot of people were saying that, you know, LaMarcus is done. He's no longer going to be the dominant player that he once was or was projected to be. Last year, he had a big slump. You know, things were going around, oh, will he trade him? What's he worth? Who's going to want him?
Yeah, he signed the contract.
Then, yeah, he signed the contract and bang, he is absolutely balling. Love what he's bringing to the Spurs, and with the absence of Kawhi, he is doing A-plus things.
Yeah.
He's doing amazing things there.
Yep.
Back to the guards, I think, like, Lillard is, again, like, that sort of... Every year, it seems, that he just misses out. He's putting up 25 points this year. And for me, like, basketball works in sets of fives, if that makes sense. So, for example, 15 points a game for a star is easy.
Yep.
20 points, it's only 5 points. Like, that's only 2.5 buckets.
Three and a two.
Exactly, two buckets.
Yep.
But it makes a big difference. Like, the averaging 15 points a game to 20 points a game. And then that leap is even further for 25 points a game. And then even, like, 30 points a game is ridiculous.
Yeah, 30 points is, you know, Russell Westbrook, exactly. James Harden, LeBron James.
I'm going to treat someone who's averaging 25 points a game...
just under a star.
Like, no, as in, like, a lot better than I would someone who's 20 points a game.
But if those 20 points are paired with, say, 8 boards and 7 assists, that proves their efficiency. And, I mean, Dame's doing it 6 assists, whereas Russ is almost at his averaging his triple-double again. The points have gone down a little bit, but you'd expect that with the absence of Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. They're starting to find some cohesion again, as we mentioned. I think that both of them, I would have both of them in, but you know, it's where it gets trickier is in the front court as well. Do you have Draymond Green up there? LaMarcus Aldridge is almost a lock.
Mm.
Rudy Gobert isn't going to make it due to injury. No. Marc Gasol's had a waning season. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Jordan's been pretty good. Can you show me some of the teams, Nick, go back to the standings for us? Because the forwards is where it's really tricky. The Pelicans obviously have those two twin towers. Do both of them make it?
Does Cat make it?
I mean, there's been a lot of conjecture about Cat. Jimmy Butler's a lock.
He's been instrumental in why the Timberwolves are fourth.
Does
at the
Jokic
moment.
Make it despite missing some time? Does Kyle Kuzma make it, Nick?
Kuz
is going to get a huge fan vote.
He will.
I'll put it out there. He's going to be top 10 in fan vote. I'm putting it out there. Lakers are the number one team. He's been dominating lately. He's been gotten the Mamba mentality approval, the Black Mamba's approval, and, you know, Lonzo's taking a backseat to the Kuz train. Are you jumping on board, Nick? You got the ticket for the Kuz train?
I love the Kuz train, mate. I was saying it in, like, the third Lakers game I saw. I think it might have been against the Wizards. That's why I saw it so early. Kyle Kuzma is such a dynamic player. I love watching him play. He's perfect in LA.
Yeah.
He could very well get a extremely high fan.
Is Dana Kardashian suit enough?
I want to see LeVar in the celebrity game, though. I think that'll be hilarious.
LeVar taking on MJ. Like, you know, back in the day. He was always... I mean, MJ's too good for that. MJ's like, you know... I mean, MJ would...
MJ is just...
We talked about this the other day, the fact that MJ could almost fit on probably the Hornets right now. They've been that trash. That I reckon... And I think with Heiser as well.
50-year-old...
I reckon he'd still get buckets. Like, you know, give him... He's back to the basket game in the post. I reckon he'd be all right. But, you know, let us know your votes, guys. I'm sure that there'll be plenty of tweets and such happening on social media in the coming months. We'll give you our lock votes in the coming weeks, because there's still plenty of time to vote. And get your votes out there for Joe Jingles as well.
Jingles. Thringles. Jingles.
Get the Thringles going. Three-point
contest.
Get some for my Nets boys. Spencer Dinwiddie. Joe Harris.
Dinwiddie.
Get him in there, mate. Get him in there. But shall we move to our Busick Manuel scale, Nikolai?
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Get a rep, mate. He's been better than like half the All Squad. He's been killing it.
Uh-huh.
Show the man some love. He, you know, that NBA.
I saw him take over a game. That's all I needed to see.
Exactly.
He's all right. All right. We'll start this Busick Manuel scale. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is a JBT created scale, created by us. That sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. From news to rumors to hot takes. We scale it from alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact. Jack, do you want to take the rain? Actually, you know what? I'm going to ask you this one.
All right.
The Toronto Raptors deserve to play a Christmas Day game and are a legitimate contender out east.
All right, Nick. So, two-parter. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it because I came up with it.
Thank you.
But I also posed this on our Facebook page, and it got a bit of love. The fact that because, you know, the Sixers have been fumbling lately, the Knicks have obviously been fumbling lately, the Raptors, for about a day with the top seed. And I think right now, I think they're second after losing to the Thunder as well. But yes, they do deserve a Christmas game. They've been a top four contender out east for the past 5 years, maybe even longer. They are a legitimate contender. I mean, I've been posting a lot of like advanced stats about their ball movement, their offensive rating, their defensive rating. Their completeness as a team looks really good. DeMar DeRozan is shooting the three efficiently now. Their backups, I think, are in the top half of the NBA. They've got a really nice, deep squad. Their ball movement and motion, their offense has changed. It looks sustainable, but no one's buying in except for me. I mean, I'm buying in maybe because I've been to a Raptors game and I've sort of got that connection to it. And I went to like this the special Huskies night. So, yes, they are a legitimate contender. Yes, they do deserve a Christmas game. Hashtag fact.
Well, I'm a hashtag fact on this as well. I think most
people...
For both. Like you said, they're playing a more playoff sustainable worthy... They're playing a sustained version of basketball where they used to play a lot of ISO with Lillard and Lowry. Now, there's a lot more team play. They're getting good use out of forwards that they never had before.
Yes, Siakam, Poeltl.
Exactly.
Powell.
Players that aren't getting love, but they're doing amazing things. And their rookie, what's his name?
Fred VanVleet?
No.
OG Anunoby.
Thank you. Amazing defensively.
Oh yeah.
He is. He's going under the whole team is going under the radar. Really,
here at JBT, ladies.
No, not here at JBT.
We love our Raps. Rap City.
DeRozan's having great. He's putting up great numbers. Lowry's have dipped, but it's for the team.
Yeah, that makes sense. Works. Like
he's playing more of a team player.
He had that sort of not really an argument, but he had after a game where they were struggling a little bit. He was like, "I don't know where my place is now." Mm. It seems he's found that place again.
Exactly,
he's gotten back to that almost all-star level category. He'll be in the conversation. DeMar's probably been, you know, the star.
Exactly.
The team,
yeah. DeRozan's shooting threes. It's a new
Nick,
Raptors
got,
team.
You got their net rating right now.
Yeah, and that's astounding.
Huge.
They're fifth in offensive, fifth in defensive rating. Their net rating is third at the moment.
Third.
They are a good all-round
ways,
team.
They're by a ways. I mean, obviously, Golden State and Houston Rockets are always going to be top two in a lot of the categories. But Toronto Raptors above the Celtics, the Spurs, the Cavs, the Thunder, the Timberwolves. I mean, if you net rating is a huge indicator of the balance of a team between offense and defense. And not many people would say that, would think about that with the Raptors in terms of balance, depth. Whereas I think that we need to start giving them the credit. Their assist percentage is...
Their assist percentage last year was 47% last in the NBA. It is now... Wait for it.
What?
Where'd it go? Well, it's higher.
It's much higher than last.
It's 56%. So that's a turnaround 10%. Of about 10%.
Huge.
It is huge.
Huge.
For them.
And
it shows they're playing more of a team game.
Their motion offense. But yeah, Nick, what do we got next on our Busick Manuel scale?
All right. The next one, with Blake Griffin set to return in the coming days, can the Clippers make a run at the playoffs?
All right.
Mate, this is the hottest of hot takes, and it is hot in this room.
I mean, it's warm. The fan's going.
It is warm.
You can probably see it if you're going to
And I'm still
right
feeling
now.
The heat from this hot take. Clippers are 10th at the moment, mate.
Yes.
Why'd you put this one in here?
Why'd I put this in, Nick? Because they're only a couple of games out. They've been about, I think, around the 500 mark without Blake Griffin, which I think is... Credible on so many levels. Montrezl Harrell has been good. Sam Decker's chipped in a couple of games. Lou Will, we know, is going to get buckets like there's no tomorrow. And Blake Griffin changes this team entirely. In the time that he was playing, I put out a couple of articles on OTG Basketball, and I was saying how good he was and legitimate MVP contender in the time that he was playing. He changes this team completely. DeAndre Jordan said when he was asked post-game about his excitement of him coming back, he's like, he changed the team completely, offensively, especially. It eases the load on DeAndre, who's been very good. You know, despite the trade rumors surrounding and, you know, the whole blow it up thing. But, you know, they're still hanging around and they're only two or three games outside of that eighth seed. And, you know, with injuries set to happen, I don't really trust anyone. You know, in that, and you look at the seeding of everyone out west, it's like from that 7 to 11, it's anyone's game, I reckon. You know, the Pelicans could have injuries, the Blazers could have injuries, the Nuggets. You know, there's a lot of teams that could certainly push. But I'm jumping on the Clippers bandwagon. I'm going to give it a cheeky little Twitter fact, as we are right now on Periscope on Twitter. So I'm going to give it a Twitter fact. It's not likely because I think that, you know, the Pelicans with their Twin Towers are just, you know, too dominant. And I think they ultimately make it on talent alone. Mm. But the return of Blake certainly makes it interesting.
I think Twitter, because it's on the lower... No, it's on the lower end of the fact.
Yeah.
I wasn't convinced that the Clippers, even when they were winning, they went 4-2 in that first month.
Yeah.
And then massive slump when
Blake went out.
Blake went out. Thank you. They went on that big losing streak and just fell to pieces. They've started to pick themselves back up a little bit more. There's no doubt that when Blake comes back, they will be a solid team. But the way I'm looking at the Clippers right now, they're a poor man's Jazz. The Jazz have been through the same thing with Gobert going out twice.
Yep.
And he is a machine. He's an animal. He will come back in 3 days' time from an ACL injury.
MCL.
The man... No, I'm saying ACL. He will come back in 3 days' time.
He probably could.
He is a magic man when it comes to recovery on the court. They're currently 15-20, the Jazz. 14-19 for the Clippers. Not much of a muchness.
No.
But if it was...
Not much of a muchness.
But if it's a deciding fact, if it's who's going to take that eighth seed, I'm going to be taking the Jazz over the Clippers.
Donovan Mitchell probably, you know, seals the deal there a little bit. But I do like the depth in general that the Clippers do have. And the offense, I think, you know, outweighs the defense with the Clippers. So I'd probably give it to them just slightly. But Nick, we've spoken, and Austin Rivers has somehow been playing inspired basketball. I don't know why.
Who
that
saw that coming?
no one. Maybe, you know, Luke Magri, but that's probably about it. But we've spoken enough about the Clippers, Nicholas. What do we got next on the Busey Manuel scale?
All right, next one. The Sixers coach, Brett Brown, will be the next coach fired.
Ooh! I put this one on because Twitter was having a bit of a field day with the Sixers' recent slump. I think they'd lost 8 of their past 10 at the point when I put it on. Mm. And they've jumped out. They've not really jumped out. They've dropped out of the playoff standings. I think they're about 10th now. They've been struggling a little bit. Ben Simmons has been struggling a little bit of late, hitting that rookie wall, so to speak. You know, they're 15-18. They're still knocking on the door of the playoffs, but, you know, they're a couple of games behind the Miami Heat, who are at 18-16. Joel Embiid is so important to this team. They don't really have a playmaker outside of Ben Simmons. JJ Redick has been outstanding for them, and I think he's probably their second most important player outside of Joel, and he's missed some crucial games as well. So I think, you know, you got those two guys miss games. I mean, I love TJ, Team TJ.
Yeah, I was going to say, never underestimate the clutch TJ.
But other than that, it's just, there is a... Boy! All right, we love TJ as well, Louis. All right, Louis loves TJ as well.
We've had a dog infest our podcast.
Infest.
Like a festering room.
But yeah, I give this alternative fact just because I don't think it will happen and it should happen. But, you know, stranger things have happened out in Memphis and even Phoenix. I guess you could say it was a bit more expected. Mm. But, you know, who knows? Because, you know, he's not a Brian Colangelo guy. He was, you know, inside the system before the GM was there. So there's certainly, it's a possibility. But I don't see really anyone getting fired in the next sort of couple of days.
And that's why I think he's going to go. because he's not a Brian Colangelo guy.
He's going to go.
And he's, yeah, as he, in, like, he...
Eventually, or...
No. He when GMs come in with a coach already appointed, they look for excuses to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Because they're not... It's like, hey, I didn't pick this guy.
Yeah.
This guy isn't the right person to lead this team in the direction that I want. And that's why I think he might go. If they continue down this, it's just any excuse and he's out of there.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, don't remember what they did at the start of the season. They went 9-5 in December and 3-9 in December.
9-5 November, December.
Yeah, sorry.
Yep.
You're going to hit those walls. You're going to hit those slumps because they're not a polished team.
No, not at all. That's a good point.
But Brett Brown definitely deserves a chance.
Absolutely. The way he's molded his players is something to behold. But we will get to a break, ladies and gents. Right after it, more Music Manuel Scale and JBT Team of the Week. You're listening to JBT Podcast. Make sure to give us a rating and review on iTunes.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Do us a favor, go on iTunes, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already.
Rate, review,
all that good stuff. We're back here with the Busek Manuel Scale with my boy Jack. This one here, mate, Anthony Davis is as good as gone.
From the Pelicans.
From the Pellies. This comes in light of a quote, and I will quote it here. It makes you wonder, does this organization really have my back? I've been loyal to this organization. I love it here. I love this team. I think we're moving in the right direction. DeMarcus, Rondo, some other players that are helping us. But people get judged on winning, and I want to win.
All I do is win, except he doesn't. yeah, it's these came via Adrian Wojnarowski earlier in the week via ESPN in an oddly enlightening interview coming mid-season for Davis. Now, I think that he eventually is as good as gone. But right now, I think, you know, the rumor is the Celtics. I think that they're hot on his heels. You know, they've got all the assets, all the picks in the world still. You know, funnily enough, not a Nets one, but Lakers and the Kings one. And they've also got, you know, young guys like Tatum and Brown that they can offer as well. So if they're in a win now sort of mode, then there's certainly a possibility that they could do it. But I think that Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins provide one of the most intriguing duos in today's NBA. If they could somehow get some sort of organizational stability and coherence and competence, then they could be a legitimate top four contender. But there is nothing outside of them. Yeah, Rajon Rondo got 25 assists today, but he got 2 points.
It doesn't matter.
Rajon Rondo's fine. But is he really moving the needle for you? Look what happened to the Bulls last year. They finished 8th. That's basically what's probably going to happen with the Pelicans this year. It doesn't move the needle that much for you, Nick. Darius Miller, they've got a lot out of him. I really liked him. Etuan Moore hasn't been too bad either. I mean, that's very strange. Nick's pointing to the fact that Rajon Rondo this year...
Rajon Rondo's free throw percentage is 100%.
Okay, go scroll down.
I wonder how many he's
I'm going to guarantee he's had less than 10.
Keep talking, mate.
None of those guys really move the needle for you. So I think he's as good as gone in the next three years.
He's had 4.
So, yeah, exactly. I said under 5. I was right. You owe me a blowy.
All right.
So,
when and where, mate?
I think he's as good as gone within the next 3 years, especially when that contract is coming to an end. Right now, I think that the New Orleans could be moved to Seattle by that stage. Because there's no coherence, there's no stability. They're not a model franchise by any stretch of the imagination. And Anthony Davis, like you said, he wants to win. Every player wants to win. Paul George has said he wants to win. And that might let him stay in Oklahoma City for a little bit longer. So I think Anthony Davis is as good as gone. And I think DeMarcus Cousins could even go to the Lakers next year. I think it's got the Pelicans are a shambles. An absolute shambles.
It was such a surprise when they got DeMarcus because everyone was thinking at that point for Boogie, and it's the same thing for the Kings. It's like the same reigns true for the Kings as it does for the Pelicans now. Just, it's not working. Just get what you can for what you have.
Yeah.
And I think that reigns true just tenfold for the Pelicans. They've got a lot of good pieces. if you want anything to make it work, you either need to make use of Davis now, like right now, which they tried to do with Boogie, and how the Pelicans seem to be running that franchise just seems to be like how a kid would build a FIFA team. Like, oh, I'm gonna grab Messi, I'm gonna grab Ronaldo, and you just grab 11 strikers, and you think you're gonna win games.
Don't you win games with strikers, Nick?
But you're not.
Who's gonna? Oh wait, they need defenders.
Exactly. You need a goalkeeper.
You need
pieces that attach to other pieces.
Yeah, and if Omar Asik's your goalkeeper, you're not gonna do too bloody well.
You need your team to gel. You need the right players.
No chemistry.
For the right. Exactly.
Yep.
It's just like, oh, DeMarcus Cousins is on the trade table. He's a good player. Let's get him. Will it work? Well, they're both putting up amazing numbers,
it's
but
ridiculous.
They're not winning.
No, they're not.
They're at 500 at
the
moment.
They're not winning
they
enough.
They're not winning enough. A little bit above 500, but they're not winning enough.
It's not due to them. Like, we're looking at their roster right now. And I mean, apart from Rajon Rondo and maybe Ian Clark, there's no one outside of that you could say is like a B player or above, like in terms of talent. And
Tony Allen, mate.
Tony Allen. I mean, Tony Allen gives them defense, yeah. But they need a 3-and-D guy, not a D guy. Jameer Nelson, I think, has been pretty good for them as well. Dante Cunningham, Etuan Moore, Solomon Hill. They're forward and wing. Depth is disgusting.
A lot of teams in the NBA have this problem. There's not enough wing, like
they're too big on drumsticks, not big on wings.
there's not enough 3-and-D guys, effective 3-and-D guys. Like, because Wizards have this problem as well. We've been struggling to get a wing. We've got Porter, and that's it. Oh, Oubre has developed.
Oubre 3.
Yeah, exactly. Oubre has developed into a nice 3-and-D guy.
Mike Scott's not bad.
Yeah, yes, that's true. More 3 than D.
Again, we got onto the Wizards.
And yes, we did. but this is more the point. Like, Ryan Anderson on the Pelicans, that shoots them up a lot, I reckon.
He was on the Pelicans. He got traded to the Rockets, so...
It's his contract. Of course.
Yeah.
But, like, someone like that... An effective, a consistent wing.
Yeah, Luke and Bamute would be perfect for them.
Yeah,
I don't know how they didn't throw a bit more money at him if the fact that the Rockets were able to get him for the minimum. But
there's only so much crap that Davis can deal with.
Yeah, and I mean it's fair. So that's why I'm giving this a Twitter fact because it's gonna happen. I just don't think it's gonna happen in the near future. Mm. But speaking of a guy that we mentioned in the Houston Rockets, James Harden. Nick, is James Harden wrong to keep playing through this knee injury? Now, it's ticky-tacky. It's, it's not serious by any stretch of the imagination. He's still putting up 50-point games. He's still dominating. But we saw last year how towards the end of the season he was, a bit gassed, so to speak. Mm-hmm. He had those injuries catch up to you a little bit. Chris Paul has been out, so I guess he sort of has to play out there. But he has mentioned the fact that, it's not going to get any worse. So it's one of those injuries you just play through. You play through pain. But, if CP3 comes back, I think, give James Harden some time off. I honestly think that...
He's earned it.
I know, like... yeah. When was the last time he played less than 80 games? Like, very rarely in his Houston Rockets tenure.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, that's why I give this a wiki fact because, he deserves that time off. He needs that time off. He needs to be fresh going into the playoffs. The All-Star break, whether it's pre-All-Star break, post-All-Star break, give him a week off here and there if CP3 is healthy, and I think it works.
Yeah, I mean, they're on that hot start. Their offense and even defense proves that there's something there, obviously. I mean, they're second in the West right now. If not third, no, they're second. Harden and CP3 are collaborating amazingly well. Harden is obviously the main dude on this team and is doing amazing things on the court with and without that second point guard there. But the minutes that CP3 has played without Harden proves that this system, which D'Antoni is an amazing coach and he has created... can still function without him. Give him a rest.
Yeah.
If it's something that you can just... If it's just a niggling knee injury that you can just play through, give him a week off.
Yeah.
because it'll be fine after a week if the injury is as small as he's saying.
Yeah.
I don't think it's
bad either way. I just think that, you know, the Rockets need to prove it in come playoff time, come postseason time. So that's why I just ultimately think that, yeah, it's time. Not necessarily now, but, you know, they figure it out. Every star, LeBron does it every year. And, you know, you want to be peaking come April to June. Mm. But Nick, speaking of a guy that's coming back from injury, Isaiah Thomas. We've seen him. We posted on our Facebook page. He's been doing workouts, pre-game workouts. The return of Isaiah Thomas to the Cleveland Cavaliers will ultimately decide their championship fate.
Mm.
What you got?
This, I would give this a Twitter.
Yeah.
There's a little bit to it. I mean, obviously, we've been saying all year when the Cavs were bad, we were saying, okay, well, we'll wait till Isaiah comes back. And then when the Cavs were good, we're saying, well, imagine when Isaiah comes back.
I like the inflection in your voice.
But will it ultimately decide their championship fate? There's a lot of things that will ultimately decide their championship fate.
Yeah.
I don't think whether Isaiah Thomas is in or out, they beat the Golden State Warriors. A lot of things need to change on the Cavaliers' perspective, whether and not just the fact that Isaiah comes in to beat the Golden State Warriors. One thing, Golden State need to play badly.
Well, yeah, and that could happen.
It could.
But they could have an injury.
Cavs, yeah, they could have an injury. So much stuff can happen.
Yeah.
To bring the Cavs another championship. But the way that Golden State are playing right now, it's not up. The margin isn't as close to say whether Isaiah Thomas comes in and out, is in or out of the squad to decide whether Cavs make a championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely all on the refs and the fact that they're actually going to call some LeBron James fouls, maybe. that went off on our Facebook
Bitten
page.
Fire.
So, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Nick, but I'm going to give this a wiki fact just because, you know, Jose Calderon is their starting point guard. So, you add Isaiah Thomas and replace his minutes with him, he should not, like Deron Williams last year, he should not see any court time against the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. So, I'm giving him a huge advantage, even if he's at 80%. But I think, you know, Isaiah Thomas has the mental fortitude greater than probably any player in the NBA. We saw last year in Boston. I think that he is an absolute star. I think if Derrick Rose comes back, I really hope he to integrate him and Isaiah is going to be tricky, but Isaiah fits so much better because he's almost Kyrie light. He's like an older Kyrie who's a bit shorter. He obviously doesn't have the handles of Kyrie, but he can get to the line at will. Hopefully he still can. Hopefully he still has that, you know, mini explosiveness about him, that craftiness about him. But yeah, I'm going to give this a cheeky wiki because ultimately he will be their second, maybe third best player with Kevin Love. And you need your best players out there healthy to impact winning chances.
What I think might be an underrated part of the Cleveland team is their use of effective rotation as well. You got Korver coming off the bench. If Thompson can find himself being effective, if he can, that's and you've got Wade and Shumpert as well. Their bench unit isn't terrible.
It's not horrible, no. And yeah, especially led by Wade.
I mean, apart from the point guard, point guard spot. Besides Isaiah Thomas, you got D Rose and Calderon.
Yep.
It's not great.
No, it's
you
not.
You don't really want to go with that playoffs. But you've got other players like your Korver and the guys I mentioned before, who can offer very, very good minutes off the bench. And that could be a deciding factor in some of these
definitely,
games.
Definitely. And we saw that in Christmas game. Everyone saw it. Obviously, Steph Curry wasn't playing that game. Mm-hmm. But Nick, you know, I'll chuck a couple more at you, mate. The Charlotte Hornets, a team that we don't talk about much on the pod, within good reason, because, you know, they kind of shit. But the Hornets should trade Kemba Walker. Michael Jordan, what's he going to do, Nick? He's listening. The GOAT's listening.
The GOAT is listening to JBT. I am humbled, and I want to read your book, sir.
Sit down.
Be humble. How do I read this? How many years left?
So he is on $12 million. He's got, I believe, 2 years left. The value, it doesn't say the years there, but the value behind his contract is enormous. He is the fourth highest player, might I add, on this Hornets team behind Dwight Howard, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and Nicholas Batum. All trash compared to Kemba Walker. We mentioned him in the All-Star conversation at the start of
our Kemba was at a better team, he would be an All-Star.
Consistently. A bona fide All-Star.
Yes, consistently.
Because he already is an All-Star.
Yes, of course.
He's got talent coming out of his wazoo. You know, he is just an elite point guard in today's NBA, especially in the East. There aren't many players who can do what he can do. You know, he's... The impact that he has on the Hornets can't be understated. But the fact is that they're trash right now. And the Hornets sort of need to blow shit up if they want to become any better. You know, if they've got their picks, which I believe they do, they could get something from it. You know, trade out of Kemba Walker to somewhere, I don't know, chuck in a New York. I think I spoke about that on the OTG outlet. Check that out, guys. Subscribe. That he should get a go in New York. And Nick Fay mentioned the fact that he went to college in New York. Could you imagine Kemba Walker alongside Porzingis? Dear Lord, that'd be scary and wonderful.
If they get a high pick, and I mean high, like they're in the lottery.
You need a high pick and as well
you
as
need,
a good role player.
You need a high... You need two first-round picks. Yeah. You need your own first-round pick.
Yeah.
You need another first-round pick.
Yeah.
If you're trading Kemba...
Yeah.
Because they've got Monk.
That contract's so good as
they've
well.
They've got Malik Monk, who I think...
he's on the out, though. He's not getting much love from the GM and the coaching staff there, which is, you know, which is saying something, because I don't know whether it's defense, whether it's, you know, lack of engagement. But yeah, it's interesting that, you know, Mark Carter-Williams, one of the worst players in today's game, really, like, I'm not hating. Well, I am hating, but it's hate that's warranted. But yeah, it's really interesting that he's not getting any minutes or anything, because the talent that he had coming into the game,
it's not like you're pushing a championship where you can't afford to be playing youth.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Malik Monk is a good player.
They have the
granted
same...
Jeremy Lamb has been playing good this season.
He has as well. Yeah, he has been the Hornets. Okay, let's put this into context. They have the same record as my Brooklyn Nets. My Brooklyn Nets aren't pushing for the playoffs at all. The Hornets should be. My Brooklyn Nets are rebuilding for a championship in the next 4 years. Should the Hornets start doing that? Maybe. That means trading a Kemba who is aging and his game probably won't...
27. That's not aging.
Okay. It's not aging. But like, you know, 5 years time and you've given Kemba, after this contract ends, a max deal. 40 million, 35 million.
Kemba's past his build stage. Like if... They can't build around Kemba anymore.
No.
If they want... Because they've got Monk. If they get another draft pick and another piece... You think another 2 years before those draft picks develop? Kemba's 29. He may be deteriorating at once he
get
hits
Ntilikina for that. I reckon you add in Ntilikina, a Knicks first rounder, and maybe a Courtney Lee to make it work. Damn, I'd do that if I were the Hornets. Do the Knicks probably because they're really gun. No, what's the opposite of gun shy? Gun happy. Trigger happy. That's the one. Bang, bang. So I think that's a deal that could work for both parties. But watch this space because, you know, who knows what could happen. Nick, what do you think? I've got this as a wiki fact, leaning to a fact.
I think this will be, if he does get traded, it'll be a trade where the Hornets are just like, is that all? Because Hornets fans know how good Kemba is. Kemba doesn't get a lot of love, media love, anything like that. So I think that pushes his trade value down. I think, if GMs are that dumb. Because I rate Kemba extremely highly. So do you.
Yeah, definitely.
And he's worth a lot of assets in this league. He's a very good point guard. It is a very point guard heavy team, but he is one of the best.
Yep.
But I don't think his value will be matched by other
offers.
Yeah,
I mean, we saw what happened with Jimmy Butler. We saw what happened with Paul George. It worked out well for Indiana.
Well, that actually worked out well, yeah. Hindsight's 20-20.
Obviously, hindsight is 21-21. But Nick, last one on the Buzing Manuel scale. Kawhi Leonard is returning back to full fitness. He had a nice game against the My Nets the other day. He's looking pretty good. Spurs are as much a contender out west as the Houston Rockets. They're third. Are they legitimate contenders, Nick?
It baffles me that they're third, to be perfectly frank. Like, again, another team every year goes under the radar. Like,
it's the Spurs are like the Raptors of the West. Or the Raptors are the Spurs.
They're the Raptors
whatever.
On steroids in the West. Because, like, it happens. This has been happening for, like, 7-8 years.
Are Raptors on steroids like T-Rexes? They're the T-Rexes of the West.
T-Rexes of the West, all right. It's baffling that they're third at the moment. 24-11, classic Spurs, averaging around that, you know, 60s, or the 68. They'll finish around the 65, 60 to 65.
It's ridiculous. So they do this like in
every year without Kawhi Leonard.
Greg Popovich is like GOAT, like GOAT coach ever. Like,
and it's expected now. Imagine, I reckon we would be talking more about the San Antonio Spurs if they were 10th at the moment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You'd be like, what is happening?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Because they're third, almost at 700.
Yeah.
It's just whatever.
Yeah, it's just fait accompli. So, yeah, I think we saw what happened in last year's playoffs against the Golden State Warriors, that one game before Zaza Pachulia, cruelly manslaughtered Kawhi Leonard, and I can't believe he's not in jail for serving that crime. But, I like this Spurs team. Their depth, their wing heavy. Kawhi Leonard is going to be peaking at the right time. You know what? Write them off at your own peril. So I'm going to give this a hashtag fact because the Rockets are an unknown commodity. And guess who knocked out the Rockets last year in the playoffs, Nick?
Spurs.
Exactly. Exactly. So write them off at your peril because Pop's
ability to change and adapt with the league, like you're saying, is a very wing heavy team.
He's a chameleon.
And that's exactly what I was saying with the Pelicans. They need good wings, and Spurs have transitioned into this modern NBA with good wings.
Anderson, Gay.
Exactly.
Bertans has been all right.
How's
Manu Ginobili still absolutely dominating?
I know,
40?
That is... And yeah, everyone thought he was going to retire last year.
Give that man a five-year max contract.
Right? and LA is a rejuvenated man. I just think that LaMarcus Aldridge needs to be the number one dude.
Over Kawhi?
He needs... No, as in, for the sake of the Spurs, Kawhi needs to be the number one.
But for LaMarcus's ego?
But for LaMarcus's good, he needs to be... He needs to move to a team that will give him number one.
Nah.
You saw last year, Kawhi didn't get injured last year, I don't think.
Yeah, he did, in the playoffs.
Sorry, regular season. Like, yeah. I might bring up his stats. But the point I was trying to make was that LA had a... bad season last season.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think it was bad, but I think it was playoffs bad, because when he was forced to step up and become the man, so to speak, become the dude that, you know, Pop relied on and the Spurs relied on, he sort of faltered. And, you know, with Kawhi Leonard, I think these guys can coexist quite easily. LMA has improved his three-point shot. I like his increased range, so to speak. It's not necessarily jumping out of the books, but he's taking more of it. So I think that he can work well alongside Kawhi, and I think they can coexist well, and I think that's why they're a legit contender, and I will reiterate, wiki fact.
I'll probably give this one a...
Twit?
Yeah, twit. Twit? Yeah. Not as much, just because of that little, like, are as much a contender out west as the Houston Rockets. They're not.
They're not?
Nah.
That's fair, mate.
So, it's closer to a Twitter fact because I don't want to write them off completely.
Yeah.
But the Rockets are good, man.
Yeah, we'll jump off the bandwagon and jump onto the bandwagon of the JB team of the week.
That's the wrong button. JB team of the week. G'day. What are you doing, mate? I was just about to read that. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where me and Jack recognise the players that have been outstanding in their position. Each week, 5 players get chosen, and for those who feature at the end of the year, we'll make JB Team of the Year. Individual players with the most appearances will make JBT MVP. Mate.
Yes.
Let's get it done.
Yes.
Point guard, Russ scored 38 points of the Thunder's 95 in the team's narrow win over the Nuggets as well, and it wouldn't be Russ with just 38 points. 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals and a block.
Not bad. So,
yep, he's definitely not bad.
He's bounced back.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler's had a wonderful December, and he came up with some clutch free throws to steal the win for Portland, as he put up 37 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, shooting 57% on the night.
57, that's impressive. LeBron James at the small forward classic. LeBron.
When hasn't LeBron been a small forward?
I know. He had his third consecutive triple-double. 20 points, 12 rebounds, 15 assists. Jack, 15 assists.
That's a lot of assists.
That's a lot of assists. It's no Rondo, but it's, you know, third of Rondo. Like two-thirds of Rondo.
Two-thirds of Rondo, yeah, something like
that. In the win over the Wizards.
Haha.
He seems to do really well against us.
Yep, he does it very often. At the power forward position, in their win over the Lakers, KD continued his hot streak, putting up a highly impressive night in the box score. 33 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 4 blocks, despite being destroyed by Julius Randle and Larry Nance Jr. Rest in peace, KD.
You did all right, though. 4 blocks. If you're leaving you're gonna the
miss
league
some.
In blocks,
yeah, you're going to miss them.
You're going to get dunked on. It's unfortunate, but it's
Who
true.
Who is the big boy at the C?
At the center position, in the Rockets' dominant win over the Jazz, Clint Capella shone, posting a 24 points, 19 rebounds, after his 20th rebound was reviewed and given to Chris Paul instead. 3 assists and 2 blocks to go with that as well. So we'll give him the 2020 game.
Well
Everyone
done, Clint.
Well done, Clinton. Mate,
it's Clint, not Clinton.
Clinton.
It's not Clinton Capella.
Clinton Capella. It's like a white... That just became a white name.
Hey, Clinton. Nice rebound.
Yes. Rookie Watch now. We like to... we give love to...
Rooks.
All the other players, but we like to give... Us. We like to give... Yeah, that's right. Hold on. I got something for this.
They rooked us.
But they're not going to rook us.
There we go. We like to give love to the rookies. So for those of you who are new, this is where we rank the rookies based on a performance this week. And we award 1, 2, 3 votes. We'll tally them at the end of the year to see who wins our Rookie of the Year. So, 1 vote, Jay Collins, with an incredibly efficient night in a loss to the Pacers, as he went 18 points, 9 rebounds, and 7, shooting 6 of 7. He was efficient and perfect from the line, 6 of 6. 2 votes on Friday night. Jay Bell.
Ding dong.
Yes, ding dong. Wait, is that a bell? No, it's a cash register. I tried. Put up his best game as a professional, scoring 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal and a block as well. His first of what could be many 2010 games of his career. In nearly 25 minutes in the Warriors' 113-106 win over the Lakers. Extremely good cash considerations there. I've never seen money play so well. Mate, 3 votes.
3 votes on Kobe night. Seems like a lifetime ago. Kyle Kuzma put on a show coming off the bench, posting 25 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists and a block. The very next game, Mr. Kuzma went for 38 points in a win against the Rockets in Houston. He knocked down his first 5 3 attempts, getting 7 for the night on 10 attempts, as well as getting 7 rebounds, 4 assists and a block to top off an absolutely perfect night. The following game against the Warriors, he scored above 25 points yet again, making Kyle Kuzma the first Lakers rookie since Jeremy West. Jerry West to score over 25 points in 3 straight games. And in his past 2, he just keeps on putting them up.
He's amazing.
I said he's going to be top 10 in fan vote. I put it out there. The universe will respond.
Kobe Knight helped him.
Kobe Knight's going to help him huge.
Oh, that helped him.
Kobe, like, gave him the seal of approval on Twitter as well.
All right, too easy. We're going to take a quick break here. On the other side, last segment of the day, just the DBS and the outro.
Maybe off topic.
The ever elusive...
Maybe off topic.
Outro. Maybe off topic. You're listening to JBT Podcast. Head over on iTunes and give us a rating and review. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. I'm going to say it again. Do us a favor. iTunes, subscribe, top notch. Good job, lads. All right, let's like and review all that good stuff. Do us a favor, we love you guys. Just want you to show us the love back.
We need love.
We need love.
We are needy, needy men. We don't get enough of it in our lives. I mean, Nick loves me, mm-hmm. I like to think. I love him. But other than that, we don't get a lot of love from our friends and family or our
significant
partners.
Others, yes.
We need the love, and we need it from you. And we also need off topic.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Welcome to this week's off topic.
Final off topic of the year.
Slam this one. Yes, final off topic of the year. And what a better way to commemorate 2017.
Memes.
Yes.
Hook it to my veins,
Jack,
Nick.
You ruined it.
Hook it to my veins.
Hook it to... Fuck it to my veins. Anyway. Mate, we have got a BuzzFeed article here.
We love BuzzFeed.
Of the... BuzzFeed's cool.
We need them as a sponsor on our podcast. We've done like quizzes of theirs.
Yeah, right.
BuzzFeed jump aboard.
Yeah, that's it. So here's a month-by-month breakdown of the 12 best memes of 2017. So... What were your favourites, mate? We won't go through them all,
yep.
But there is an article on BuzzFeed. You should check them out because it's good memes, good yep. Good memories and good memes.
Yep.
Good and, memes and memes.
And the amount of M's and E's and S's in there cannot be Zeds. Described enough. Maybe some Z's if you're trying to get
some Z's.
Look, we can't go past Salt Bae and Blinking Man, can we? I mean, you know, when you use thus in an essay.
When you use thus in an essay.
I mean,
essay.
Salt Bae, like, he has his own bloody restaurant now from a bloody meme.
Does he? Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure, like, he was in London and he was, like, just doing this thing. I love the distracted boyfriend because I made one of my, it was one of my pinned tweets earlier in the year about LeBron James and I think, like, with new...
LeBron James with, like, new point guards rather than, like, just staying with Kyrie Irving and Dan Gilbert and stuff. And then it was just... It was wonderful. It got me a couple of new followers, so I'm happy about that. So, yeah, the distracted boyfriend was wonderful for me. So, I'd give them... They'd be my top three.
Yep, yep, fair. I thoroughly enjoyed Salt Bae, as most did, I think.
Sexy man.
It's just the...
Very smooth. Very smooth man.
The distracted boyfriend was used a lot in The Simpsons.
Have you seen the full photos? Simpsons. Have you seen like the full photo album of the distracted boyfriend?
No.
It escalates very quickly to the fact that like the girlfriend walks in and he's having sex with that girl. So it no longer becomes the distracted boyfriend. It becomes the
cheating boyfriend.
The cheating boyfriend. Like he's almost like he's on, he's actually proposing. There's one of them like proposing to her and he's looking at the girl as well. So like the distracted boyfriend's a bit of a dick.
Well, a little bit.
So
I love the hot dog. I love the hot dog one.
I mean,
the dancing hot dog with a Snapchat filter.
Yeah,
that was great.
I mean, if you guys want to jump on Snapchat, like you know, just hit us up. We post some fire shit.
Mm-hmm.
Nick literally posts fire shit.
I do. Like shits on fire.
He posts fire emojis while he's shitting. So
exactly.
That is literally fire shit.
Fire shit.
So yeah, there's been wonderful memes this year, Nicholas.
My fave has come out recently, and it's like if you play certain something,
yep.
Then as New Year's hits, then it'll. It's like if you play the Steamed Hams episode at whatever minute, and you get as the New Year ticks, you'll get Aurora Borealis.
Aurora Borealis.
Aurora Borealis.
Localized entirely within your kitchen.
Like I'm positive that we could pop anything on, like any soundbite that I have on this. If you play that episode at a certain point, you will get that soundbite at midnight. So
that's
it's
right.
Like,
what's your favorite hobby? Magnets.
What's your favorite hobby? Magnets.
Oh, that'd man. Be a good New Year's, spending it with Charlie and the crew, and it's always
sad. I will smack your face.
I will smack your face off your face.
I will smack it's your face happen. Off of your face.
Mm. Juicy.
He's a very powerful man.
But yeah, like, it's so diverse, those ones. It's like you pull up anything, and there's just anything funny happens at New Year's. It just becomes that much more memorable.
Absolutely, Nicholas.
Should we do the outro now, Nick?
Alright, we'll do the outro. No DBS. Sad face. You can do it, mate. You are my guest in my studio.
Yeah, and it's bloody hot in here. And
if you can bloody hold the microphone the right way.
Is this the right way?
It is the right way.
Yeah!
I can hear it. It's a shame you don't have headphones on, because you could hear how soft you were before. Apologies before.
Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You can find us on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. And remember to rate and review the show, subscribe on iTunes, follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Help us out. It helps us out heaps. We appreciate everything that you do in those two mediums. You can contact us on Twitter at the JBT is myself and at JBT Nick is Nicholas. You should also hit us up at OTG Basketball on Twitter, where you can read some awesome NBA articles. And we are part of the podcast network of OTG. We also have many other fire ones there, and I appear on a couple of them. So if you want to hear my voice even more, you don't get sick of it, then, you know, check it out. We've got Facebook, so just search Just Ball Things. We're posting plenty of stuff there on a daily basis. You can hit us up on email, where we'll read them out in the show. I mean, literally, email Nick the fact that, like, he needs to eat some steamed hams. We'll read that
and
shit.
And I'll read it. I have no shame.
We have no shame at all on this podcast. I mean, I told Nick to give me oral sex, so that shows how much shame that we have.
When and where, mate?
Remember, it's you guys who make the show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until probably next week.